Traditionally, what you hear on Insight for Living are sermons Chuck Swindoll presented to the congregation where he serves as senior pastor. Today, however, we have the privilege of listening to a message delivered in an informal retreat setting. Cast in the majestic mountains near the Northern California coastline, the Family Conference Center was filled to capacity with Insight for Living friends from across the country. This relaxing oasis provided the perfect venue for reflecting on matters of heritage and leaving a legacy for those we love. We're confident you'll value Chuck's refreshing presentation about creating a legacy of remembrance.
Every one of us leaves a legacy. It may be a good one, it may be a poor one, but without a doubt, we leave a legacy. Our legacy may not have the breadth of a George Washington, whom Americans call the father of our country, or of a Mother Teresa, the founder of the Order of the Missionaries of Charity, a Roman Catholic congregation of women dedicated to helping the poor in the city of Calcutta. But to those whom our lives may touch, our legacy will be just as monumental. The legacy we leave will be inescapably vital to the next generations. Legacies don't just happen. They don't just fall out of heaven, materialize in the middle of our living rooms, or appear on our doorsteps, accompanied by a knock and a note. No, it's not like that. Legacies are created. It requires thought, preparation, and action. What we do today becomes our legacy tomorrow, either positive or negative. However, a legacy finds its birth in the most unexpected place, the past. Creating a legacy begins with looking back on where we came from and how we became who we are. That's the purpose of our study for today, creating a legacy of remembrance. There are several significant verses in Scripture that, if remembered, will help us in our journey to create a legacy that will be remembered. I'll be reading a few from Deuteronomy chapter 8. First, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2. A call to remember and obey. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. And now the latter part of Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 20. Verse 11 begins, "But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, 'I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy.' Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To download the outline notes for today's message, go to insightworld.org. Chuck Swindoll's message is titled, Creating a Legacy of Remembrance.
My good friend Jerry Reeves, who runs the foundation for Dallas Seminary, passes this story along. It's a moving account. One April morning before leaving their home, an older couple stacked a packet of materials on the dining room table. For some time, they had been working to organize their estate and to assemble all pertinent information in one place, one stack. The stack of papers on their dining room table pleased them so much. Their job was complete. They walked out the front door, relieved and secure. Minutes later, they entered the Social Security office just after it had opened, and they never returned home. That was April 19, 1995, Oklahoma City. That couple, along with 166 others, died in the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. When their family discovered the stack of papers on the dining room table, it symbolized not only their parents' love for them, but also their parents' preparedness for the unexpected by having their earthly affairs in order. Although the couple walked out their front door that day unaware of the imminent bomb blast, they were nevertheless prepared. No legacy is automatically left. It doesn't just sort of tumble off a cliff and fall into place at the bottom of the hill. It's the result of creating it, thinking about it, preparing for it. And it has no age limit where it is to start or when it is to stop. All of us are to give serious thought and perhaps I could add a lengthy thought to the kind of legacy we want to leave, because what we are doing now is in fact history tomorrow. I finished a great book that Paul Sailhammer sent me some time back called To America: Personal Reflections of a Historian. Stephen Ambrose wrote the book. For so many years, a bestseller, he wrote The Band of Brothers, D-Day, those multiple volume biographies on Eisenhower and Richard Nixon. You really must read Ambrose if you haven't begun. One of those writers that writes like a novelist, though he is, of course, a wonderful historian. And in that book, Ambrose writes, it is through history that we learn who we are and how we got that way, why and how we changed, why the good sometimes prevailed and sometimes did not. History is a wonderful teacher. But it has all happened by then. What we are doing now as it relates to the significant things of life provides for our loved ones the history that they build on. We often refer to standing on the shoulders of our forebears, our forefathers and mothers. Those are helpful words as we come to this week together. Through this week, we're going to be thinking about who we are and about how we got that way, how we have changed and why. We'll even be thinking ahead, planning on how to make it better or what went wrong in the journey so that we won't make the same mistake again. God wants us to do that. He has set up the whole idea of milestones. I find that word interesting. I looked it up in the dictionary and found that Webster gives us this definition of a milestone. It is a stone serving as a milepost. And the secondary definition, a significant point in development. Mount Hermon can be for you a milestone, a significant point in the development of your spiritual life. Hopefully you keep a journal and on occasion you include in it events that will be remembered through time. I don't think anyone can leave anything more important for a family than a journal, especially when those who survive us desire to look back and call to mind things that we perhaps never even mentioned as it relates to our development. So I hope this is the beginning of a journal for you. If not the beginning, at least the continuing of it that you are already doing. A journal is different from a diary. A diary is an everyday sort of a daytimer type thing. I did this, I did that. Journal is what God is doing in our lives. And you don't fill it in every day necessarily. Unless you're neurotic, then you... I know people that work on their journals about every third hour. And I think, boy, there's a journal I don't want to read. But if you want to enter into it, significant things, they don't happen three times a day. But they might happen a time or two a week. And I would encourage you to do that. God wants us to remember. The word itself appears 32 times in the Psalms. And next to Psalms, it's mentioned most often in the book of Deuteronomy, interestingly. 17 times in this fifth book that Moses wrote, it appears. And my Bible is open to Deuteronomy 8, where Cynthia and I find a verse we frequently call to mind and will even use when we speak. This is a verse that the Lord made significant to me through a set of circumstances I'll not go into, but Deuteronomy 8:2 is... the verse I have in mind. Moses is an old man now. If not 120, he's very close to it. According to Deuteronomy 34, about the middle of the chapter, we read he died at age 120, and he is now very close to death's door. The journey through the wilderness is past. The people are at the edge of the land of promise. God's promised them the land, and Moses has led them from the Exodus to this land. It took them 40 years to make the wilderness journey. And now he's passing along to them, not unlike a great-grandfather at the end of his life, lying on his bed with his family around him, shares things worth remembering. Moses records, if you will, in his inspired journal, these words. You shall remember, there's our term, all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Let me pause there and let you insert in your mind whatever may be the number of years. You may have known the Lord 8 years. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 8 years. They may have been wilderness years. Many of you are perhaps 20, 25 years of spiritual history may have been wilderness years. You may be in it right now, and you come because a friend invited you to the conference, and I commend you. The good thing about a Mount Hermon Insight for Living conferences, nobody is going to push you in a corner and put you on the spot. You're free to struggle. You're free to miss meetings. Some of the best things that happen don't happen in the meetings. You're free to speak your mind, to express your struggle, and no one will put you down for it. You may be in the wilderness, and I'm proud of you for coming. I commend you. It'd be easier for you to sit behind closed doors and pull your blinds and lock everything up around you. You've not done that. You're in a wilderness. And now we're talking about remembering all the way which the Lord has led you. Please notice why. That he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Look closely. We skate too quickly over significant terms and verses. Just for a moment, sort of irrigate the verse. Wilderness occurs to humble us. Wilderness times happen to bring back reality. I love the words of someone wiser than I as he refers to pain planting the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. If you've hurt long and deep enough, there's not a lot of pride. You're humbled. You're broken. You're fractured. And the people have lost all of their ancestors in the wilderness wandering. Remember the disobedience way back when, and all through those 40 years, there'd been nothing more familiar than funeral services, like the whine of those bagpipes in New York City following 9/11. Except in this case, there were multiple thousands who died in the wilderness. So to humble you is part of the purpose of the wilderness. By the way, don't hide the humbling. Don't hide the brokenness. Don't hide the wilderness. As you pass along and cultivate and remember your legacy, let your kids know of the tough days. Let them know when you were humbled and why. They can handle it. Kids are very forgiving, very understanding. And then that he might test you. Wilderness happens to test us. We've all known that kind of experience. And to know what's in your heart. Now, this is not for God to know. This is for you to know. God never learns. There's no time in the day when God goes, oh my, I didn't know that. Good night. Look, Gabriel, look. God, that is unbelievable. Now, that's not God. Open theology is heresy. And hope and theism is heresy, and God is not in the process of finding things out so he'll know how to react. He's in the process of testing you that you might learn how to react. That's God's curriculum. He's very good at it. You notice that? You notice how he's able to fit one test for one person and another for another? And you found yourself thinking, why didn't he do that to her rather than to me? Or I've been here twice. And my best friend's never even been here. God knows what he's doing. He never wastes tests. Now, please get ready to mark your Bible. I like doing things like that. We are to remember the way. Mark way. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you. Verse 11. In similar words, beware that you do not forget. Same thing as saying, remember. Do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, ordinances, statutes, which I am commanding you today. Mark any one of those. I have in the margin of my Bible the word. Remember the word of God. Be better students of the word of God. It will help you in the wilderness. Remember the way. Remember the word. Verse 18, another time, you shall remember, that word's woven through this book, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. Underline that word. the wealth, the benefits. We're big on the tough times and don't mention enough the great times, the prosperous times, the unexpected gifts that came, the check in the mail, the gift from one of your parents, or maybe even a friend, or perhaps the ability to earn an awfully good living, which you never expected. Most of us make far more than our parents ever thought of making. Remember the wealth that the grace of God has made possible, and don't miss that in your journal. Make note of that, for it is He who has given you the power to get that promotion, to earn that living, to make the wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. There's one more. Verse 7 of chapter 9 says both, remember, do not forget how you provoke the Lord your God to wrath. There's the fourth one. Remember the wrath in the wilderness. Remember the consequences. Remember when you grieved the Holy Spirit. There's a sermon in each one of these categories. It is easy to think God is in one and not in another. David Siemens, in a fine little book, writes a true story of what happened while he was a professor at Asbury Seminary. One day, as the students were moving through the lunch line, right after they got their trays and silverware, David says they came upon a basket of bright red apples. Someone on the staff had placed a small sign on the basket which read, "Take only one, please. God is watching." The students progressed through the line, selected their food, and when they came to the other end, they found a little larger box full of broken cookies. There was another sign that had been hastily written, obviously by a student, and placed alongside this larger basket of broken cookies. "Take as many as you want. God's watching the apples." He's here, but he's not here. So. He's all about us. He is in us. He is through us. He is over all of us. There's no limitation on the omnipresence, all presence of God.
Creating a legacy of remembrance. That's our subject today on Insight for Living. And there's much more to learn on this topic. Check out the resources available online at insightworld.org. We'll hear a closing comment from Chuck Swindoll in just a moment, so please stay with us. Originally presented at an Insight for Living family conference in Northern California, Chuck's popular series addresses highly practical issues, all related to developing a personal legacy of integrity. To purchase all 5 CDs in this new series, or to download the audio files, just go to insight.org and look for the series called Creating a Legacy. You know, at family retreats, conferences, or after a worship service, there's often a line of people waiting to speak with Chuck. And many times, people are curious about Chuck's personal walk with God.
Of all the questions people ask me about my spiritual walk, one stands out as the most repeated. "Hey, Chuck, what helps you stay on target?" Great question. And my answer may surprise you. It's been a persistent discipline for decades. It often occurs daily. It's keeping a personal prayer journal. There's something powerful about this tactile experience. Letting the ink flow across the page, distilling my own private thoughts into words scrawled into my journal. It equips me to sustain a life of balance and obedience. Insight for Living Ministries has prepared a brand new journal for you. It's called Passionate Prayer. Along with plenty of room to write down your prayers and all that God is teaching you, I'm also providing real-life illustrations for you. 12 women and men who modeled passionate prayer. So give us a call or go online or write a letter today. Let us know that you'd like to have a copy. Ask for the spiral-bound prayer journal called Passionate Prayer.
And it's yours when you give a donation of any amount to Insight for Living. The process is quick and simple. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. The Prayer Journal is likely a book you'll treasure for years to come as you jot down your personal requests and answers. It comes with our thanks when you give a donation of any amount. It's your contribution that allows us to provide Chuck's teaching on radio and over the internet. So thanks for giving a generous donation today. Again, go to insight.org. Now, perhaps you're prepared to take the next step in your support of this nonprofit ministry by becoming a monthly companion. Your automated gift makes a profound impact on the predictability of needed income and gives you the satisfaction of knowing you're doing your part to support Insight for Living. So if you're listening in the United States, become a monthly companion today when you call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. More from Chuck Swindoll about creating a legacy of remembrance tomorrow here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Creating a Legacy of Remembrance, was copyrighted in 2004, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.